Ari Peltola, 136,893. Sarah Palin, 112,255.
The first Alaska Native woman elected to Congress keeps her seat by a wide margin. From Alaska Public Media, this is a special hour-long edition of Alaska News Nightly for Wednesday, November 23rd. Good evening, I'm Casey Grove. Also tonight, Governor Mike Dunleavy won re-election outright.
It brings some finality, and it allows us to now move forward and really start to plan for the next 4 years. So, no, it's a good day for us. And I think it's a good day for Alaska as well.
That's ahead on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Sneezing, aching, sweating, and coughing. Who has the time for this misery? You have the power to protect yourself and your community. Boost your defenses this season by getting the flu vaccine. Protect yourself and family. Learn more at vaccinate.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
That's right, you're listening to and or watching, hello, a special edition of Alaska News Nightly on this ranked choice tabulation day for the general election. We'll be talking more about individual races and the ranked choice system coming up. But first, let's go through some of the results now that the Division of Elections has tallied the final absentee ballots from overseas. We should note these are unofficial with a target date to certify the election on November 29th. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski has won re-election for the seat she's held for the past 20 years. That's despite a strong challenge from fellow Republican Kelly Chewbacca, who led on election night when first-choice votes were counted, but fell slightly behind in subsequent counts. With Democratic candidate Pat Chesbrough eliminated today and most of her voters' second choices going to Murkowski, Murkowski has won with 54% to Chewbacca's 46%. And in the race for Alaska's lone seat in the U.S. House, Democrat Mary Peltola has won with 55% to Republican Sarah Palin's 45%. That's after ranked choice voting divvied up the second choices of Republican Nick Begich's voters. Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy has won re-election with 50.3% of the vote, defeating independent former Governor Bill Walker, Democratic former state legislator Les Guerra, and fellow Republican Charlie Pierce. Dunleavy's running mate, former legislator and commissioner Nancy Dahlstrom, joins Dunleavy in that victory. That race, unlike some others, did not come down to ranked choice tabulation, as Dunleavy took just over half of first choice ballots. So that's an early look at the races at the top of the ballot decided here on Tabulation Day. We'll be talking more about those, as well as state, House, and Senate contests decided today through the ranked choice process. And of course, we'll have more coverage at alaskapublic.org. But now we're going to turn to the congressional races. And for that, we now go to Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin. Hi, Liz. Where are you?
Hey, Casey. I am at 49th State Brewing in downtown Anchorage. I'm in a basement banquet room where the Peltola campaign had a watch party. It was pretty crowded, but, folks have largely cleared out.
Yeah, describe that for me. What did Peltola say when the results were announced, and how did everybody there react?
Well, the way the results were announced, they had multiple opportunities to break out in a cheer and chant her name. You know, Mary, Mary, you've heard it before. She was pretty calm. Some of her supporters here were in tears, especially other Alaska Native people in the room. They, you know, seem pretty emotional about it. Hey, Peltola is right here. Do you want to speak to her?
Well, yes, Liz, of course I would love to.
Okay, wait, we've lost her for a second. She was right here. Oh, she's right here. Okay, hang on. She's just doing her selfies with a group of people, as usual.
And fairly popular in that room, I imagine.
Yeah, they've got, okay, here we go. I will put her on directly. She's saying goodbye. Okay, you are on with Casey Grove Live. Hi, Casey.
Hi, Congresswoman. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, I know it's a big question, but what does it mean to you to win a full term to represent Alaska in the U.S. House?
Well, it's just an honor. It's a tremendous honor that so many Alaskans put their faith in me and my team, and I'm just going to work as hard as I possibly can.
So in the end, you beat Sarah Palin, who's one of the most famous Alaskans ever, and you beat her by nearly 10 percentage points. What do you think that says about Alaskans and what kind of representation they want?
Well, I think Alaskans just really appreciate plain-spoken conversations about things that matter to them in their everyday lives. And I think that was reflected in the vote.
Yeah. You're going to be a member of the minority next year. And I wonder, how challenging do you expect that to be?
Being in the minority is challenging, but I'm often reminded that Congressman Young served in the minority many of his years, and he found it to be easier to be effective within the minority than in the majority. And of course, the 10 years that I served in the legislature, I was in the minority all of those years, and it's a little bit like muscle memory for me.
Speaking of the late congressman, he was in office there for 49 years. And so I thought I'd ask, I mean, do you intend to keep running for this seat potentially that long?
Well, Alaska is so unique because we have such a small delegation, and seniority really is a big deal in Washington, D.C. And as an Alaskan from a very small delegation, I think it's really important that we keep as much of our seniority as we can. And so I will run again, of course, and this is a two-year contract, and I'll stay in as long as Alaskans will have me.
Okay. And real quick, before I have you hand the phone back to Liz, I know you've been talking about this through both of these campaigns, really, but real quick, what are your priorities that you're focused on? And I guess, you know, immediately when you go back to Washington, D.C., what are the first things you're going to be focused on?
I'm going to continue to be focused on the Willow Project. I think it's so critical that in Alaska, we work on driving down our costs for fuel and food. And every single thing that you see in your studio and your listeners see wherever they're standing came to us because of diesel fuel, whether it was by barge or jet plane or in the lower 48 semi-trucks and trains, or even in Alaska semi-trucks and trains. All of those things are powered by diesel. And the harder we can work and the faster we can work at driving those costs down, the sooner Americans and Alaskans will see relief.
Okay. Well, Congresswoman, thank you so much for talking to us here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Casey.
Hey there.
Hello, Liz Ruskin again. So,
yes.
So that's the race for U.S. House, but Liz, you've also been covering the race for U.S. Senate, which, as we just mentioned, Senator Lisa Murkowski has won re-election. Is she speaking publicly tonight at all?
No, her campaign said that she is with family tonight, and we haven't seen her.
Okay. But both her and Congresswoman Peltola won by pretty wide margins, 10 points for Mary Peltola and 9 points for Lisa Murkowski. How much does that matter as they both head back to Washington?
Well, you know, a win is a win, but in Murkowski's case, she, if she had needed second votes from Democrat Pat Chesbrough to win, that really would have said something. I mean, maybe it would have pulled her a little to the left, and Republicans would certainly have used that as a knock against her. But Murkowski was ahead on first choice ballots, too, as you said at the top here.
Yeah. In either one of those races, I guess, do you expect Palin or Chewbacca to challenge the results?
You know, I don't. I saw a statement from Chewbacca earlier in which she said that it, you know, looked obvious that Peltola had won. She didn't make it sound like she was challenging it. And I expect Sarah Palin will pour her energies into trying to defeat ranked choice voting. And I don't expect that she's going to challenge the results here. Frankly, you know, she was so mad at Nick Begich, you know, maybe she would have challenged it then, but I don't expect that she's going to challenge this in court.
Gotcha. Liz, one last thing. Clearly, Murkowski was one of the main targets of former President Donald Trump, and he heavily promoted Sarah Palin as well. What do you think it says about Alaska that both of his candidates here were rejected so resoundingly? Do you attribute that to ranked choice voting or what?
Well, okay, he also supported Governor Dunleavy, and Dunleavy won. But yeah, I do think in general, ranked choice voting favors moderates. And it had Republicans asking themselves throughout the election, do I prefer the other Republican candidate if my favorite loses? Rather than in the old system where you have a primary and you have enough time for everyone of that party to unite behind the primary winner. Both Palin and Begich said several times that they, you know, would have preferred to have the traditional Republican primary. You know, as I said, I think ranked choice voting does tend to favor moderates.
Yeah. All right, Liz, thank you for that. That was Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin. Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Casey.
Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, more analysis of today's results from the ranked choice election tabulation, and we'll hear from Alaska Beacon editor Andrew Kitchenman about the outcome of legislative races. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Casey.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
What if accessing your personal and family immunization records was as easy as checking your phone? The Docket app is a secure option that allows Alaskans to quickly access their immunization records. Need immunization records for school or travel? Docket makes it simple and is available for download from the App Store or Google Play Store. Learn more at vaccinationrecords.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
As promised, we're joined now by Alaska Beacon editor Andrew Kitchenman to talk about legislative races. Andrew, 10 legislative races were decided today by ranked choice voting. Where does that leave the state House and Senate in terms of whether they'll be controlled by Republicans or Democrats?
It leaves it with a bare majority in both chambers. There will be 21 members in the House and 21 Republican members in the House and 11 Republicans in the Senate. In the Senate, there are 9 Democrats. In the House, there are 13 Democrats and 6 people who are not affiliated with either party.
I was talking to your colleague, James Brooks, the other day from the Alaska Beacon about this. And obviously, there's a lot of negotiating going on and conversations about how a majority might form or a coalition majority might form. Knowing what you know now, after the results of this ranked choice tabulation, how difficult does it seem that there will be a majority formed or a coalition formed to be a majority?
Yeah, I mean, James's reporting on this has really informed my perspective, and it appears as though there will be a bipartisan majority caucus forming in the Senate, potentially with all 9 Democrats. Not clear yet how many Republicans will be a part of it. It's clear that the most conservative Republicans would not be a part of that if that were to form. And several moderate Democrats several moderate Republicans and potentially a few Republicans who really would describe themselves as conservatives could potentially join the majority. They would have to agree on a really broad agenda that probably wouldn't be a divisive agenda. It would really be one where there's a real consensus, and that may mean that, you know, issues that would potentially get a small majority of support may not move forward because they'll really need both parties to agree to it. It's a more complex situation in the House. House Speaker Louise Stutes is a Republican who's been caucusing with Democrats for 6 years. She's one of the 21 Republicans who would form a Republican majority if there were to be a Republican majority. She likely would be a part of that, but it's not clear yet whether she will be or whether she will continue to caucus with people other than Republicans. If she does, it's not clear who else among the other 20 Republicans could join that majority. It's almost an identical situation to where we were 2 years ago when 21 Republicans won in the House and Stutes basically announced pretty soon after the election that she really couldn't find common ground with that caucus. She was really concerned about services in coastal Alaska, particularly the ferry, mm-hmm. and funding for it. And she was concerned that that wouldn't have stable funding under an all-Republican majority. And it wasn't until almost a month into the session that fellow Republican Kelly Merrick also moved over to the House majority. And then there was a true bipartisan majority in the House. Kelly Merrick has now moved up to the Senate, and she could be one of the Republicans who joins a bipartisan majority in the Senate. We shall see.
And remind us, I mean, how did this play out with Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy and a coalition majority in the House? We're now talking about a coalition majority in the Senate, but just, you know, take us back in time. How did that play out? I mean, the House didn't tend to agree with a lot of the things that Dunleavy was trying to get passed, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were significant bills in each of the two legislatures as Dunleavy was governor. There was the repeal of pieces of the criminal justice reform under Governor Walker. And there was a big reading bill that was passed at the end of this last legislative session. But yeah, I mean, not huge policy changes over the last 4 years. And, you know, as it remains divided, that will certainly be very difficult to achieve that kind of consensus. Of course, the big policy change that people have been unable to agree on for 6 years is a change to the formula for the actually, I should say 7 years, a change to the formula for the permanent fund dividend. And that remains out there as an issue that's not resolved.
That remains out there as an issue to be resolved. But if either chamber of the legislature can't form a majority, there's a lot of issues that won't be resolved, right? And so I guess I wonder, kind of back to that other question, you know, how likely do you think it's going to be that they will be stuck trying to decide who's in the majority?
Yeah, I mean, another thing that is uncertain is the state budget. I mean, oil prices are falling. In a sense, it might be good that the budget is going to be based on where oil prices are 3 weeks from now. And if they continue to fall beyond that, the more they fall, the worse the budget picture is. I mean, that won't change reality the day that the governor puts forward the budget. But it will make it easier the higher the prices. The higher the prices, it'll be easier to reach agreement on issues related to the budget. But the more the price falls, there are going to be some very, very difficult decisions that will have to be made.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk a little bit about the effect of ranked choice voting on this election?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So there's three legislative races that were reversed by ranked choice voting. That is, the candidate who was leading before they did the calculation of the ranked choice voting, it's called a tabulation or a sorting or an instant runoff. There's many, many terms.
Here we are. It's tabulation day.
Yeah, tabulation day. And so there were 63 Alaskans elected today or elected in this election, and only three of those races were reversed by ranked choice voting. Now, there are those issues that Liz raised as far as potentially changing how voters behaved and therefore how candidates campaigned. But those three reversals were all in the state house. They were in South Anchorage. There were two House races, House District 11, where Republican Julie Coulomb passed independent Walter Featherly, and House District 15, where Republican Representative Tom McKay was won re-election. Could potentially win re-election. He was trailing Democrat Denny Wells, and he took the lead, but he took the lead by 4 votes.
Yeah.
So that could very much, you know, Wells could very easily ask for a recount, and we'll see if I mean, there have been recounts that change margins that are that small. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of uncertainty there. And then in House District 18, Democrat Cliff Groh overtook Republican Representative David Nelson. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, we went into the day with 20 Republicans leading, with Coulomb and McKay taking the lead. That went up to 22, and then Groh winning brings it back down to 21, and that's where they are.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, 4 votes in that one race. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I think it is. It's amazing, but we've had, at one point, we had the election in downtown in the city of Fairbanks where 4 years ago, Representative Bart Laban, who was defeated in this election when he was first elected, it was a 1-vote margin. Every vote counts. But in Alaska, where you have smaller districts, the chances that 1 vote will make the difference goes up.
Yeah. And let's talk about that real quick. I mean, that's House District 31. Democrat Maxine Dibert won with 55% over Laban's 44%. That doesn't seem that's not within 1 vote, right? I mean, that seems like a pretty clear.
Yeah, I mean, we saw an interesting dynamic there where the third place finisher, Kelly Nash, basically discouraged people from ranking her fellow Republican, Bart Laban, second, showing the kind of divisions within the Republican Party that are really affecting, you know, both chambers, where it's not certain after a majority of Republicans are elected whether there will be majority Republican caucuses. And again, these are all unofficial results, still to be certified. That's due on the 29th. There can be a recount, particularly in House District 15.
Right. That 4-vote margin there.
Yeah, and I guess we could talk a little bit about the state Senate.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's maybe the place to start there is with District E here in Anchorage, where it looks like Kathy Geisel is headed back to the state Senate after having been beaten in a primary last time around by Roger Holland. And it looks like she has won that election, right?
Yeah, pretty decisively. It looks like about 57% to 43%. That is with Rosalind Casey, her votes being transferred largely to benefit Geisel. I mean, that was a 3-way race that was virtually a 3-way tie. They were all within a very small number of votes from each other, within 100 or so. It potentially shows the more nuanced effect that ranked choice voting can have, where Geisel, who had always been identified as a conservative Republican, basically was attacked or was defeated really from her right because she had basically not supported the really deep cuts to state services that Governor Dunleavy had proposed in 2019. And also the much less popular, she had not supported overdrawing the permanent fund to pay a larger permanent fund dividend. And Roger Holland defeated her, basically was a true conservative on these divisive issues related to the PFD. I mean, I say a true conservative, I mean, in the sense that the governor of supporting a large PFD with a potential for cuts to government. And this appears, I mean, he lost pretty decisively, and he may have been able to defeat Kathy Geisel in just a closed traditional Republican primary. But with an open primary, Geisel got to move forward to the general election, and with ranked choice voting, she moved forward decisively. And that can really be pointed to as an example of how things potentially have changed.
Yeah, no doubt. That is an interesting outcome here. Well, that was Alaska Beacon editor Andrew Kitchenman. Andrew, thanks for the analysis here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Casey.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
First National Bank, Alaska, celebrating 100 years of helping Alaskans shape a brighter tomorrow. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Sneezing, aching, sweating, and coughing. Who has the time for this misery? You have the power to protect yourself and your community. Boost your defenses this season by getting the flu vaccine. Protect yourself and family. Learn more at vaccinate.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
Governor Mike Dunleavy secured a second term in office today after a final ballot count. Despite sparse appearances on the campaign trail, the Republican incumbent ended the race with just over 50% of the vote. Here's Dunleavy a little while after the Division of Elections announced the results.
It brings some finality, and it allows us to now move forward and really start to plan for the next 4 years. So, no, it's a good day for us. And I think it's a good day for Alaska as well.
This marks the end to a long campaign season and the beginning of another 4 years with Dunleavy at the helm, the first Republican governor to be reelected in more than 40 years. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George has this look back at his first 4 years in office and what's to come.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's first term started with a very Alaskan experience. His plane couldn't take off because of bad weather. In early December 2018, he was scheduled to take his oath of office in his wife's northwest home village of Norvik, but the fog was too thick to land.
I'm Michael J. Dunleavy. You solemnly swear or affirm.
He ended up having an impromptu swearing-in at the hub city of Kotzebue while he waited for the weather to clear. And the surprises didn't stop there. Dunleavy's first year in office was marked with chaos and controversy as the governor settled into his role. Immediately, he was faced with recovery from the November 2018 earthquake, plus a sharp drop in the price of oil.
And then very soon after that, there were dismissals of employees. There was some acrimony in the transition process. And all of that began to make us believe that this could be a very rough 4 years.
Tom Begich, an outgoing Democratic state senator, served while Dunleavy was also in the legislature. Begich says he knew him to be a conservative with a libertarian streak and says there was an expectation Dunleavy could take a hardline approach to governing. But still, Begich says he wasn't prepared for just how hardline.
Oh, I think we were all pretty surprised at the absolute degree of cuts and the absolute degree of ideology that appeared.
Then, a few months into his term, Dunleavy rolled out massive budget cuts that slashed $444 million from the state's operating budget, a 41% cut to the University of Alaska, a 75% reduction to the Marine Highway System, cuts to Medicaid, the Village Public Safety Officer Program, and elsewhere. Begich chalks some of the extreme first-year measures up to hawkish members of Dunleavy's staff, including Tuckerman Babcock and an outside budget director, Donna Ardoin.
I think he got really bad advice. And when you first walk into a job and you're new to a job, you know, you come in with all guns blazing before you realize that you all actually have to get along.
Though the cuts never fully materialized, many Alaskans saw them as a draconian attack on state services, and a campaign to recall Dunleavy launched the summer of 2019.
I think he would have been recalled, except he was blessed by a pandemic of COVID, which stopped everything in its tracks, including the recall.
Jim Lotsfeldt is a political consultant who worked for a super PAC to elect Lisa Murkowski this year. He also worked as a lobbyist while Dunleavy served in the legislature. The pandemic consumed the better part of Dunleavy's term, and though Alaska emerged with a lower death rate than most other states, its impacts on long-term health and the economy are still coming to light. Dunleavy walked a middle ground in his pandemic response. He lifted all business capacity restrictions early in the pandemic. He refused to call another emergency declaration in the fall of 2021 while hospitals overflowed and turned to crisis standards of care. Lotsfeldt says at the same time, he disregarded conservative calls to fire Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink.
I don't think ever considered firing Ann Zink. She basically rescued his political career. She's the one who brought stability to that whole response. And so he let her be her, and that allowed him to be him.
Begich says dealing with the pandemic made Dunleavy a better governor. Lotsfeldt says Dunleavy, a former Mat-Su state senator, softened his more extreme perspectives and became more moderate as he gained experience.
I'm being very generous, but that's what I choose to think is that being governor has allowed him to be more thoughtful and realize that the solution is more in the center. It isn't far left or far right.
In interviews, Dunleavy has said his second term will build off his first. He lists marketing natural gas, planning for Arctic shipping lanes, and improving public safety among his priorities. Lotsvelt cautions that with so much turnover among Dunleavy's commissioners, it may be difficult to attract talented individuals, and newcomers to the administration will have a steep learning curve. Begich says that after a rocky first year, Dunleavy has built relationships with legislators. Communication between the governor and the legislature has improved. Though the next session will bring in many first-time lawmakers, he says he's optimistic about what they will accomplish.
It's absolutely clear to me that you will not see a repeat of 2019. And here I can only speak for my Senate colleagues that I've spoken with and the governor. But I have no doubt about my good faith that the Senate and the governor will find common ground on these issues.
Begich says he expects to see bipartisan coalitions in the legislature next year. He says the conditions are in place for a productive session, but it'll come down to the cooperation of everyone involved, including the governor. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
Coming up, how ranked choice voting impacted campaigns around the state.
It gave you an opportunity to talk to people you might not otherwise have talked to, and to sort of broaden the base of people that you would consider as potential supporters.
Stay with us. That's ahead.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
What if accessing your personal and family immunization records was as easy as checking your phone? The Docket app is a secure option that allows Alaskans to quickly access their immunization records. Need immunization records for school or travel? Docket makes it simple and is available for download from the App Store or Google Play Store. Learn more at vaccinationrecords.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
And we're back talking about the results of the ranked choice tabulation today, finding out who won election or re-election in some cases. Speaking of, as we said before, Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski, Democratic Congresswoman Mary Peltola, and Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy have won re-election. In the contests for state legislature, which saw all but one seat up for election due to redistricting, there were quite a few close, interesting races in the Matanuska-Susitna borough. And we're joined now by KTNA's Philip Manning in Talkeetna, who's been following those races. Hi, Philip.
Hi, Casey. How's it going?
Pretty good. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about House District 28. There were multiple Republicans going head-to-head, I guess four of them, right?
Correct. Yeah, this was one that I'd had my eye on basically since election night, because it was going to be a really interesting experiment in ranked choice voting, because like you said, there were four Republicans, and no one from any other party, no independents, no Democrats. And so it was going to be interesting to see how those second choice votes kind of fell out. Now, it turns out that the person who came in with the biggest advantage, that being current Matsu Borough Assemblymember Jesse Sumner, did end up taking that race. But it was still kind of interesting to see how those played out. And you did see, you know, in the first elimination, the ballots got spread out fairly evenly. And then in the second round, there was a pronounced preference for Jesse Sumner over the remaining Republican, Steve Menard, there. So Sumner did end up taking that seat, but as I expected, it was an interesting one to watch.
Yeah. There's another interesting one. I don't know how close it was, but House District 27, that's the one where David Eastman was running. How close was that? And what's going on with that?
Not close enough to require an instant runoff tabulation of the various terms that we're using to describe what happened earlier today. Eastman took that by, if memory serves, I don't have it in front of me, but about 51%. So that bypasses the ranked choice process. However, residents of District 27 will not know who their representative is until at least next month. That's because the certification of that election in particular is being delayed by court order. Representative Eastman is being sued over his eligibility to be a state legislature based on his association with the Oath Keepers organization.
Right, and the question there is, does his membership violate the Alaska Constitution's loyalty clause, right?
Correct. So the Alaska Constitution specifies that you cannot be a member of a group that attempts or advocates the overthrow of the government by force or violence. And a lot of this argument is obviously hinging on the January 6th riots and insurrection in Washington, D.C. Representative Eastman was in D.C. that day, has consistently maintained he was not near the Capitol, and there's been no evidence to suggest that he was, at least that I've seen. He has not been charged with any crimes in connection with any of that. It's his association and his at one point he purchased a lifetime membership with the Oath Keepers, and up to this point has not disassociated himself from that group. There's a lawsuit ongoing right now, and that hearing is expected here in a couple of weeks.
Right. Let's turn to the Senate races there in the MATSU.
Sure.
We're seeing incumbent Mike Schauer now has overtaken Doug Massey in that race. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so this was an interesting reversal, and I remember remarking about this on election night, too, because it's almost an exact reversal of the percentages we saw in the August primary. And, in fact, when I spoke to Senator Schauer in advance of this election, he said, you know, it was an interesting experience in a race with only two candidates. You know, polling is notoriously difficult in rural Alaska, but I think the primary kind of gave a good idea of where various candidates stood. And between August and November, Senator Schauer managed to turn it around by almost the exact same margin over Doug Massey.
And then, Philip, just real quick, in Senate District N, it looks like David Wilson is going to keep his seat.
Yeah, so that's the only Senate district in this area that did go to RCV, to ranked choice tabulation. And, yes, Senator Wilson will be returning to Juneau. And one last note on you were talking with Andrew Kitchenman about the makeup of the majorities. It's, you know, Representative Eastman was a factor. Many people even described that openly as he was a factor in forming that all-Republican majority in the last session. So the outcome of this court case could have some interesting implications on the makeup of the House and the legislative majority there.
Yeah, definitely an interesting election cycle we've been through here. Well, Philip, it's always great to hear from you. That was KTNA's Philip Manning in Talkeetna. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Casey.
Okay, now we're going to take a quick turn away from the results to look at the voting system that got us these results. This was, of course, Alaska's first regular general election to use ranked choice voting, a system voters approved in 2020. That's after the special primary and general elections for U.S. House, which gave us a taste of the new system. But this was the first time Alaskans really had a full slate of races to rank. And the group behind ranked choice voting in Alaska, called Alaskans for Better Elections, has been doing outreach to explain the new system and checking in after ballots were cast to see how voters felt about it. As Amanda Moser with Alaskans for Better Elections explains, there's been a lot of attention on the ranking, but a big change to Alaska's elections from the 2020 ballot initiative was getting rid of partisan primary elections.
Ranked choice voting is a component of Alaska's election system, which starts with the open, nonpartisan pick one primary, where all Alaskans have access to the same ballot and they get to vote for their favorite candidate in each race.
Yeah.
And then the top four vote getters advance to the ranked choice general election. But the ranked choice is just one component of a larger system.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we sort of refer to this whole thing as a ranked choice voting system. But like you said, that's really what kicks in the general part. So, of course, I mean, you've been doing outreach about ranked choice voting. We have now gone to the polls and done that for real. And you asked people how they felt about it afterward, right? So what was the response?
It's been great hearing Alaskans. And you know, we asked voters both after the primary and after the general election about how they felt about the system. I think first and foremost, we were really interested in knowing if Alaskans were informed. And we saw both after the primary and after the general election that over 90% of Alaskan voters in both of those elections were informed, which is true testament to outreach from so many different groups. And then a huge component is we had been hearing throughout the process that there was concern about the system being complicated, and so we wanted to ask voters if they found it to be simple. And both voters in the primary election and voters in the general election, you know, a strong majority found it to be simple. And I think a really important part that we asked after the general election, and I think this is a really interesting pieces. We asked if they thought that the state and the local elections were more competitive compared to previous years. And one thing that we had said that, you know, had been the conversation leading into this was that you would have more choice. And so we heard from voters that, you know, 60% said that they saw more competitive races at the federal races and the local races.
So it seems like there's a lot of people that found it to be simple once they had had a chance to do it. There's a few that didn't. Is there more outreach that you can do to reach those folks? Do you think you'll ever convince them that it's simple?
That's a great question. I think that there's definitely opportunities as we move forward to continue to communicate and message. And you know, jurisdictions that have had ranked choice voting for years always have a strong messaging campaign as part of every election cycle. And so I think moving forward, we have the opportunity for growth. But I think it's important to recognize that these numbers are great. Like, a strong majority of Alaskans are informed on the process, which I think is the most important component. And I think the simple part, it would be interesting to understand a little bit more about that. But I think that even those numbers are really strong, too.
That was Amanda Moser with Alaskans for Better Elections. To recap, Moser says the group polled Alaska voters, of whom 92% reported receiving instructions on how to rank their choices, 79% reported ranked choice voting to be simple, and 60% said Alaska's state and local elections were more competitive compared to previous years. And we should mention that since Election Day, a group called Alaskans for Honest Government has launched a voter initiative to repeal ranked choice voting. Notably, the first person to sign the petition seeking to get the repeal on a future ballot is the runner-up in the race for U.S. House. That's Republican former Governor Sarah Palin.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Sneezing, aching, sweating, and coughing. Who has the time for this misery? You have the power to protect yourself and your community. Boost your defenses this season by getting the flu vaccine. Protect yourself and family. Learn more at vaccinate.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
Two House districts that were undecided heading into tonight were House Districts 31 and 34. Those are in the Fairbanks area. Here to talk about the results is Robin with KUAC. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Casey. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for being here.
So House District 31, you know, has a very moderate, very diverse electorate. Bart Lebon lost his seat as the incumbent Republican. This is the same downtown Fairbanks district that he won by one vote in 2018 against moderate Democrat Catherine Dodge, as Andrew Kitchenman was talking about earlier.
Right.
If I can go on here, yeah. I want to tell you, this was a three-way race, and the third candidate was Republican Kelly Nash, and very conservative. If her voters had chosen a number two, and if all of them had picked Lebon, he would have won his seat back. However, Nash is an election denier. She had no faith in ranked choice voting. She told her supporters not to select a number two. So 400 of the 1,000 people who voted for her did not pick a number two. Lebon would have needed all 1,000 of Nash's votes to win District 31 today.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So,
well, that didn't happen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say we can talk a little bit more about how ranked choice voting played out there in the Fairbanks area. But real quick, I just wanted to ask, what role do you think that redistricting had in those House races?
It was a very big one for District 34. Not so much for 31. District 31 was the same downtown Fairbanks geography that House District 1 used to be. Pretty much the same, but District 34 was redistricted. The boundaries were redrawn. Grier Hopkins was the incumbent, and he represented this large Goldstream Valley neighborhood for two terms. When he was first elected, it was District 4, and it contained communities from Esther and out to Fox and the Birch Hill area. It was considered a safe district for Democrats. But District 34 has a very different electorate. It's mostly rural, spread out homes down the Richardson Highway, out Chino Hot Springs Road, where a lot of mushers live and farmers, people who do not necessarily get the benefit of Fairbanks North Star Borough or State of Alaska services the way that people who live in urban areas do. And Tomaszewski, Frank Tomaszewski, who won today, he campaigned hard in those areas.
Interesting, yeah, changing that seat. So back to talking about ranked choice voting there, you've done some reporting on how that changed the way that some candidates campaigned. And we have this clip here from District 35 candidate Ashley Carrick, who said it gave her a broader approach to the electorate.
I would see the sign for Tim Parker or Kevin McKinley and think, well, but we don't know how they're voting number two. It gave you an opportunity to talk to people you might not otherwise have talked to, and to sort of broaden the base of people that you would consider as potential supporters.
Robin, so she's talking about what happened in that race. Is that accurate to what you heard from candidates in other races, or what did you hear about how they campaigned?
Yes, I did. I did hear that in several races, but District 35 was unique in that it was the only race in Alaska that had more than four people in the primary. So there were four people on the ballot after the pick one primary. And so it was the only one where four people had to campaign. So the top two people, Ashley Carrick, who won that seat, and Republican Kevin McKinley, both reported on how, for example, Kevin McKinley told me he would be given a list from the party of all the Republican households in the district, and he knew to knock on those doors. But he thought, I'm going to knock on every door. And he told me that when he knew he was voting on a Carrick voter's door and that person was going to vote Democrat, he would ask them, who are you going to vote for number two? And he said he never would have considered asking that question in the past.
All right. Well, just quickly here, Senate District P did not go to tabulation today, but it was another race that many people were watching in this election. Can you remind us what happened there?
Again, this was the downtown Fairbanks area, so District 31 and District 32 make up Senate District P. The incumbent is Democrat Scott Kawasaki, who is quite a moderate, and then, of course, the other name that ran was a very well-known name, Jim Matherly, who was a Fairbanks city mayor for two terms. Conservative Republican, but trying to cast himself as a moderate to win this Senate district, but and it was close, but not quite.
Yeah.
Scott Kawasaki, the incumbent, won the seat again.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right. Well, that was KUAC's Robin from Fairbanks. Robin, thanks.
You bet.
Finally tonight, a look at the race for Senate District D in Kenai. Here to talk about that is KDLL's Riley Board. Hi, Riley.
Hi, Casey.
Thanks for being here. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Jesse Bjorkman was running against Tuckerman Babcock, and Bjorkman was leading by a few hundred votes before absentee ballots were counted. What are the results tonight, though?
Yeah, so after tabulation, Bjorkman has come out on top with almost 54% of the vote, which is more than 1,000 votes more than Babcock.
Wow, yeah. And there was a third independent candidate also running, right? How did those votes get redistributed?
Yeah, so Andy Cizik, that third independent candidate, he started off the night with almost 12% of the vote and more than double the amount of those redistributed votes from Cizik went to Bjorkman. So Bjorkman already started with a lead, and then he came out even stronger after that redistribution.
Okay. So Bjorkman and Babcock, they're both Republicans, but they had different approaches to their campaigns, I understand. Can you talk about their endorsements and what you think that says about Kenai voters?
Yeah, absolutely. So Babcock definitely has more of a statewide Republican presence. He had endorsements from the Alaska Republican Party and other statewide Republican groups. And he's also Governor Dunleavy's former chief of staff. But Bjorkman is pretty well known locally as a member of the borough assembly and as a teacher. And, you know, ultimately he came out on top. And I think in a race with no Democrats, Bjorkman was able to appeal to more liberal voters by branding himself as a common sense Republican.
Gotcha. Okay. Riley, anything else you want to say about that race?
No. Thank you for having me. I think it's a little bit surprising, but you know, not since the original general election results came out.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, thanks for breaking it all down for us. That was KDLL's Riley Board. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, marking 45 years of commitment to operating the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. Learn more at alyeskapipeline.com. Sneezing, aching, sweating, and coughing. Who has the time for this misery? You have the power to protect yourself and your community. Boost your defenses this season by getting the flu vaccine. Protect yourself and family. Learn more at vaccinate.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
And we're back here for a special edition of Alaska News Nightly on Ranked Choice Tabulation Day. To recap, we've seen Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy win re-election, as well as U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski and U.S. House Representative Mary Peltola. They have all won re-election. So those are the results in the races at the top of the ballot. But what did Alaskans have to say about the new ranked choice voting system in the lead up to the election? Alaska Public Media's elections engagement editor Ann Hillman spent a lot of time organizing and hosting voter listening sessions, and she at first heard a lot of confusion.
The way that I found that was the easiest to explain how it worked was, instead of saying ranked choice voting, you refer to it as an instant runoff. You're basically saying, okay, if my preferred candidate doesn't get 50%, who would I vote for in a runoff between the remaining candidates? And instead of waiting to tell the division of that, it's instant. They already have that information. If your candidate makes it to the next round, your vote sticks with that candidate. If your candidate doesn't, then you get to participate in the runoff.
That's what you had heard from folks about ranked choice voting. But of course, you talked about a lot of other stuff in these listening sessions. So what else did you hear from people?
People really don't like it when candidates vie for their attention when they're running. And as soon as they get in office, they forget about their constituents. Like, I heard that across the board. People got really upset. They felt like politicians made promises and then just ignored them. I heard a lot about folks being so over the partisanship. And then I heard a lot about the specific things people care about. So everything from fishing regulations to climate change to abortion rights to education to funding infrastructure to the economy. So kind of things that you would expect to hear, except for I was really struck by how much people were like, we have to get over the partisanship. And this is from people with really, really strong views.
That was Alaska Public Media's elections engagement editor, Ann Hillman. So let's go back through some of the results. We should note again, these are unofficial, with a target date to certify the election on November 29th. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski has won re-election for the seat that she's held for the past 20 years, since 2002. That's despite a strong challenge from fellow Republican Kelly Chewbacca, the Trump-endorsed candidate who led on election night when first-choice votes were counted. With Democratic candidate Pat Chesbrough eliminated today through the ranked choice tabulation, most of her voters' second choice is going to Murkowski. I think it was about three-quarters of them. Murkowski has won with 54% to Chewbacca's 46%. The race for Alaska's seat in the U.S. House has been decided, with Democrat Mary Peltola winning with 55% of the vote to Republican Sarah Palin's 45%. That, of course, is after ranked choice voting divvied up the second choices of Republican Nick Begich's voters. He ended up in third place and was eliminated, so his second choices went to the other candidates. Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy has won re-election with just a little bit over 50% of the vote, winning outright. That's 50.3% of the vote. He has defeated independent former Governor Bill Walker and Democratic former state legislator Les Guerra, as well as fellow Republican Charlie Pierce. And of course, Dunleavy's running mate, that's Nancy Dahlstrom, the former legislator and the former commissioner, joins him in that victory. That race, unlike some others, did not come down to ranked choice tabulation. As I said, he took just over half of the first choice ballots. If you're looking for more coverage of the election, you can, of course, head to alaskapublic.org. All right, this has been a special edition of Alaska News Nightly. Thanks for joining us. We had reports tonight from Liz Ruskin, Kavitha George, and Ann Hillman in Anchorage, Philip Manning in beautiful downtown Talkeetna, Robin in Fairbanks, the Paris of interior Alaska, I like to call it, and Riley Board in Kenai. Special thanks to Alaska Beacon editor Andrew Kitchenman for being here, much appreciated. We had editing support from Annie Fite, Tegan Hanlon, Lori Townsend, and Jeremy Shea, and production support by Valerie Kern, Madeline Rose, and Matt Fabian. Our audio engineer is Tobin Shelby. Katie Anastas is our producer. I'm Casey Grove. Happy Tabulation Day. Have a good Thanksgiving. Thanks for tuning in, and good night.
What if accessing your personal and family immunization records was as easy as checking your phone? The Docket app is a secure option that allows Alaskans to quickly access their immunization records. Need immunization records for school or travel? Docket makes it simple and is available for download from the App Store or Google Play Store. Learn more at vaccinationrecords.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health.
This is Statewide News on Alaska Public Media.